following has been produced by PutThemInASong.com.
My name is Shane Yoder. I write songs for a living. And every day, I hear stories transform into songs. Now you can too. Welcome back to The Root Note. I get to write and record songs for all kinds of occasions. They're usually for first dances, anniversaries, and other romantic outings. Then there are songs like this one, where the client gives me free rein and permission to have fun with it. This song is for a high school graduation, and it just so happened her favorite artist is Lady Gaga, which, may surprise you, I'm a big fan of. This is episode 5 of The Root Note, My Own Woman.
She was just a crazy kid. We couldn't even, go use the restroom without her disappearing, and she didn't even start, saying one word until she was, 2, and then she was in a delayed speech class because of that. Oh my gosh, my phone's... I'm sorry, I gotta take a second to go in here and turn it off so it doesn't do this over and over.
All is now being recorded.
It hasn't been one location, really. When she was born, we were living out, I guess you can call it, a farming area. And then we moved to another farming area when she was 2. And so I guess for the first 8 years, she was, in rural farming areas.
She grew up, when she was younger, she grew up on a little, in a country house out in Palermo, which was, they had some horses and stuff around.
Did she like it?
She did, yeah. She was kind of, yeah. She kind of had it made out there. She had a go-kart track and a baseball diamond, and so she pretty much had everything that she wanted.
Oh,
and
nice.
She had horses, nice. She had one horse.
Did she ride it on a regular basis?
She was kind of not scared to ride her, but she was afraid of heights at the time. Not anymore, but I don't know. I think it kind of intimidated her.
I'm the same way with horses. I grew up on a farm. Cows don't bother me one bit, but there's something about the way a horse looks.
Something about the eyes.
I know I could kick your
Yeah, I totally get that.
Yeah.
She's just a free-spirited wild child. And when she was little, you really couldn't pin her down. She was just all over the place. I could barely get her to sit still just for a picture.
She was crazy when she was little. And then she had her own stage where she would do pageant.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she'd dress up in a pageant dress and go up there and practice for beauty pageants.
I think deep down she's always been just a really, really good kid. She's very genuine. She's naive. And I think when she was younger, it was harder to see how good she was because she was so crazy. She just was constantly on hyperdrive with everything. She was just running around, couldn't keep her in one place. She'd climb out the windows and run off into the rice fields, which is pretty terrifying because, the rice fields, when they're flooded, turn into basically quicksand.
Oh, wow.
I called her the tornado. She'd go through, she would always sneak into my room and take my stuff, and she'd always move. You'd know she was there because everything was moved around in the room like a tornado.
She was just so uninterested in doing what we wanted her to do. If we wanted her to wear a hat, she'd yank it off. If we wanted her to sit still, she'd run off. She's just... If he wants me to let you know that there was this one time when she got a hold of a bottle of Nair in the bathroom and put it in her hair and basically singed off half of the hair on her head and wound up running around with what looks like the most ridiculous mullet you've ever seen on a kid.
The cotton test proves Nair leaves legs smoother days longer than shaving. Now Nair bikini kit for a sleek,
ridiculous mullet.
When she was younger, she was maybe 6, I think, we'd always go floating down the river on these little orange Explorer raft. We'd tie them all together. They were just little rafts, and they were just big enough for one person. So we'd tie them all together, and she was the smallest one in the group, so we would always put the beverages, the sodas, and, you know, the beers, the waters, everything in her boat, and we would tell her that she's responsible for being the bartender. She needs to make sure everybody stays hydrated. She needs to make sure everybody's got their drinks, and if there's something somebody needs, she needs to take it out and, you know, throw it to them. So we're floating down the river. We're probably about an hour into the trip, and she starts freaking out. She starts digging around her boat. She's obviously looking for something. I'm like, oh, great, is there a hole in her boat? What's she doing? And so finally she looks up and she kind of has this panicked look on her face, and she says, Mom, we got a problem. And I'm like, okay, something bad's going to happen. She's like, we only have one beer left. And, you know, everybody just kind of stops and just and looks at her like, are you serious? It's just little things like that she did that were always just kind of bringing her personality out, things that really kind of showed who she was and who she was going to be when she was older.
You know, JP was kind of humble about it, but she has always really looked up to JP. I mean, she's had a number of nicknames for him. Before she could really talk very well, she called him Hopper for some reason. I guess it was hard for her to say his name, so she just called him Hopper. That evolved into just Uncle Jappy. And that's still what she calls him to this day, just for fun. She calls him Uncle Jappy. So he's the one, he's the cool one that plays video games.
Did she get the Nintendo when you lived with her?
No, that was later. That was when she was still probably a teenager. I used to play video games with her. She'd come over to my house and we'd play. She got really into that, especially Zelda.
What was she like about Zelda? Do you know?
Oh, gosh. I think she probably liked it because I was playing it a lot. And she'd come over and we'd hang out and play it together.
There is an interesting story. JP actually tells it better than I do. She was about maybe 10. He wanted to do something with her that, you know, would cheer her up and be a good fun thing that she can do with her uncle and whatever. So we had this canal down the street from our house. It's like an irrigation canal, not really something meant for people to go inside or use or whatever. But it's all cemented in. So, I mean, it looked relatively safe to JP to the point where he thought, hey, let's go tubing down the canal. And I was telling him, like, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't want you taking my sister's kid over here and something bad happening or whatever else. And he wouldn't hear it. He's like, nah, everything's fine. Like, we're going to go do this. And so they went. He had my mom drop them off at this one point, and then he was going to meet them kind of down the way, like a mile down the way. So they went, and they went through the canal, and sure enough, they didn't meet up with my mom as quickly as she was expecting them to. So she's waiting. It took probably about another hour or so for them to actually come out where she was expecting them to. And then when they got back, he had this big, epic, long story about how they managed to survive the big, long trek down the canal. I almost want to go get him so he can tell it.
You should.
Hey, JP.
Okay, so basically what happened was Joey's parents split up, and I was trying to be the cool uncle and take her for, you know, just go and have fun with her and things like that. And Joey came over, and she really wanted to go rafting. And as we're going down, it becomes clear that it's like a drainage canal or something like that from the agricultural fields that are around. And there were so many blackberries in the ditch that it popped both of our rafts.
Oh, no.
We ended up having to swim down this thing that was pretty bad. It was full of blackberries and like debris and all kinds of stuff inside there, and I was really worried. I thought we were both going to drown. There was a tree that fell down in the canal, and so we had to swim underneath the tree. I got caught up in it, like my clothes got caught up on the tree, and I was pinned underwater.
Oh man!
I was so afraid I was going to drown. It was crazy. I ended up losing my wedding ring.
Oh no!
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. It was crazy. And then at one point, we climbed up the roots of this tree to get out, but we ended up climbing out into somebody's junkyard, and then we got attacked by a junkyard dog, and then we had to jump back into the canal to get away from the dog. Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy.
It sounds like a video game.
It was ridiculous. It was one of the most stupid things I've ever done in my life. And Joey loves it. It's like her favorite memory.
So it was a Saturday, and around 5 o'clock in the morning, I woke up and smelled coffee, and I thought, that's strange. I don't remember setting the timer. But, you know, I got up and kind of moseyed my way into the kitchen, and I see my 3-year-old without a stitch of clothing on, standing on a chair, pouring hot coffee into mugs. And, of course, you know, I think, oh, gosh, if I say anything, she had her back turned to me. If I say anything, she's going to jump and burn herself. So I basically had to stand there and wait for her to finish pouring the coffee before I went and tried to talk to her. And it was kind of crazy. Nobody had ever taught her how to make coffee. She just decided one day that she wanted to make coffee by herself.
Did you end up trying it? Was it good coffee or terrible?
I honestly don't remember. I think I was just so thrown off by the whole thing. But that's how she is. When she was younger, she always did that kind of stuff. It was like, you know, most little kids, when they decide they want to do things by themselves, they'll declare, I'm doing this on my own. But no, she was just, she'd take it into her own hands and decide to do it by herself without notifying anybody. Jen, Joey's stepmom, she's been part of her life since she was 6, and you know, they have kind of a crazy little relationship.
Well, you know, the funny thing is between me and Joe is that, like, you know, I'm not blood related. I'm not the aunt, the uncles. You know, I'm on the outside, so we've butt heads, but then we also sometimes are on the same level. And I've always tended to be a lot harder on her than, say, you know, mom. And moms are way protective of their pack, you know. But it's funny because, and Talina would hate it when, like, me and Joe would get together and gang up on mom. You know, she's so used to us being, you know, on separate sides of the playing field. And like when me and Joe would just get together and go wow 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 on mom, Talina'd be like, wait, two against one here, two against one. You know, Joe always liked that.
She was probably about 7, and we were getting up and get started for the day, and I told her, okay, well, you need to get dressed because we're going to go to town. She jumps up, and she runs into her room and starts digging through her closet, and she's doing something in there. I hear kind of racket happening. I hear she runs into the bathroom and slams the door, starts getting dressed. I'm assuming she was getting dressed. I wasn't on the other side of the door, but she's in there for quite a while, and finally we were like, okay, this is taking a really long time. What's going on? So I sent Jen over there to check on her. She's like, yeah, I'll be out in just a minute. And, you know, finally she comes out, and she's decked out from head to toe. She's got her floral sundress on. She's got makeup on and her hair curled up, and I'm just kind of looking at her like, what? Why are you doing this? You know, we're just going to town. And she's like, so where are we going? And I'm like, Home Depot? And she just looks at me just like so confused. She's like, wait, so you mean I got dressed up all pretty to go to Home Depot? You know, for some reason or another, she thought we were going somewhere exciting because we were going to town, but town's never been exciting. I don't know why she thought we were going out. But yeah.
How's her fashion sense? How did that evolve? Did it get any better, or is she still kind of sporadic?
She's all over the place. She really just kind of wears whatever she feels like wearing for the day. Sometimes she'll wear she wears hammer pants a lot, actually. She loves hammer pants.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know what the deal is with that.
This kid just, like, blew you away with these little quick comebacks. It's like, you know, someone says something to you, and you're like, oh, man, I should have said that. Yeah, I wish I would have said that. It's like sometimes this kid just has these quick comebacks, you know? You mean I got all dressed up nice and pretty just to go to Home Depot? It's little things like that where you're like, damn, this kid's on it.
You know, sometimes she'll, like, go Western, sometimes she'll be hippie. She goes to an art school, so there's a lot of weird kids there, which is good. Even with the weird kids, she still seems weird. You know, she's just kind of her own person. She really doesn't care about pop culture. I mean, we were fortunate that we grew up in rural areas with very limited access to the outside world, because she really didn't have a lot of the electronics that other kids do. So she's really just kind of able to develop without a lot of that stuff. And I mean, she has a phone now, but she could forget it somewhere and not even notice it's gone.
She was never an angry kid. I mean, she was wild, but she was always in a very happy spirit, you know, just naturally easygoing, happy kid. And the only time she might have been unhappy is if we're trying too hard to control her.
So, yeah, when she was younger, she was just crazy. And then as she got older, she was very delayed academically, and it kind of made her, like, socially awkward. And she'd, like, hide under the tables and refuse to come out when she was at school and stuff. We thought she was autistic for a while. We had her tested, and they said, no, she's just a weird kid.
Is that their doctor term?
No, I mean, they said that she had a lot of things that would be on the spectrum for different types of autism, but together they just didn't make sense. We always kind of suspected it because I went to basic training when I was pregnant, and they gave me all kinds of shots and put me out through all kinds of, you know, gas chamber and fun stuff, and I didn't know I was pregnant. So,
oh, wow.
No, we always kind of suspected that it had something to do with it. She just was always been delayed and just strange. Who she is now is a completely different person. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
When did that change?
When she was 12. It's a cadet program. She joined as soon as she turned 12. It kind of focuses on the Air Force, the Air Force Auxiliary. They do, like, military-style training. And then combined with that, they also learn about aerospace education and community service. And they do a lot of community service. You know, molding them into responsible people. Some of the kids take to it, some don't, but the ones that do, they go on to accomplish so many things when they're older. It's a really great program, and it's completely changed everything for her. I think just because it gave her an opportunity to be successful in something, she just that first year after she joined, she completely changed.
When I first joined Soulfire Patrol, I was very nervous and scared and often very shy. I would sit in the back of the room and put my head down, and I had very low confidence in myself. And I didn't know too much about it when I first started off. So when I went to encampment, I was, again, a little confident, shy, and nervous a lot. I didn't know if I was gonna make it through or not. I know that halfway through the week, I called my mom, because they allowed me to call my mom, and I was like, Mom, I wanna go home, please. I don't like it here. And she's like, oh, are you sad? And I'm like, yes, Mom, I'm sad. I just want to go home. And she said, suck it up. Myself, I was like, but Mom. And she's like, it's 2 days before you leave. I mean, come on, you're on the home stretch. And I was like, okay, Mom, I'll just stay another 2 days. And then when graduation came around, I was crying because I didn't want to leave. And, you know, that was quite an experience. And one thing I'd like to mention is that today, actually, is exactly 4 years ago is when I graduated from encampment this day. So when I see the younger generations of cadets come in and they're going to be going off to encampment, it's kind of like, oh, yeah, back in my day, I was 12 years old. I was the youngest female cadet there, and I was so scared. You'll be fine. But when I came back, I realized how much more Soulfire Patrol can offer me. And, you know, as time went on, I made so many friends and relationships with people that I will have forever.
That was when she just kind of started to build up some confidence and become, like, a person, you know, just to form an identity, and it was her first real experience of being successful at something that required academics, because even though it's not a school-based program, they still do a lot of testing, and just, you know, it's something that requires her to do reading and studying, so that was her first experience with being successful at something like that, and so she really, once she started experiencing that, she started to build up some confidence, and she just started to realize, okay, maybe I'm not as dumb as I think I am. And now she's, like, completely confident. She's accomplishing all kinds of things. And, yeah, that all started to happen. It was gradual, but it started when she was 12.
So besides being a Civil Air Patrol cadet, what were some of her biggest influences?
She likes anything that's kind of over the top. You know, she likes that whole, like, kind of diva thing. One of her favorite things is drag queens. She likes drag queens a lot. Yeah, she likes, you know, anything where she can be, you know, center stage for a little bit.
She really liked the whole pride theme. Joey just really took to the spirit of it, just like the flamboyancy of the drag shows and the colors, and she loved it. You know, for her, she liked being a part of the festivities and getting into the spirit and, you know, really just being herself, you know? I don't know how else to describe it, just the fact that everyone is so festive and everyone dresses up and gets crazy and, you know, it's just dancing and having a good time. And so I think that around that time, she really liked seeing drag shows and really started to look up to drag queens.
When she was younger, I was a pageant dress designer, and, you know, there are a lot of flamboyant males involved with pageants, and some of them did drag on the side, and I, for one reason or another, we were at a pageant, and there were some drag queens there, and she was just, I don't know, mesmerized. I think part of it's the glamour of it, you know, and just being somebody you're not, just, like, playing a role, and she's just really into that stuff, I guess. And it's just stuck. I don't know. It's the one thing that has been consistent throughout her life since she was, I'd say, probably 3 years old was when she met her first drag queens. And ever since, it's just been her thing.
And, you know, RuPaul became her number one interest. RuPaul was her idol.
One of the drag queens that she knew from RuPaul's. And I'm like, yeah, sure, let's go. And then one of the local drag queens, Rusty Nails. Rusty Nails was bringing people up onto the stage to do dancing to win tickets to the Village People. I'm pretty sure it was the Village People, to win tickets to the Village People. So she was calling people from out of the audience, and for some weird reason, Joe raised her hand. She's like, oh, yeah, yeah. And so, you know, Joe goes up, and there's all these adults up there on the stage in the middle of Pride. And they're going down, what's your name, what's your name? And Rusty Nails comes and walks all the way down to Joe. You know, she's like 3 feet tall, I think maybe in first or second grade. And she's got her little shorts on, and she's got her little black tank top on. It was and it had the Von Dutch logo on it, you know? Black tank top, and it had the Von Dutch logo on it. And so Rusty comes up, and she's all, and what's your name? As she's starting to walk up to her, and Rusty sees her tank top, and she goes, oh, your name is Von Butch. That's your drag name from now on. You're Von Butch. And Joe's like, yes, right on. I have a drag queen name. That's my drag name. I am Von Butch.
Do you think that led into where she is now with musical theater?
Being involved with theater myself, I knew how it can take over your entire life. And, you know, she's always kind of struggled in school, and I wanted her to be able to focus on her academics. And so I kind of urged her not to get, I didn't tell her she couldn't, but I just kind of tried to steer her toward her academics rather than theater. And of course she didn't listen, but, you know, it's been good for her though. I think it's been a good outlet, creative place for her to go.
Man, that kid has a set of lungs. Like, that kid really has a set of lungs. Like, you know, I always heard her singing at home, practicing. I'm like, yeah, you know, just practicing. Like, whatever, she's a kid. I'm not a huge fan of just little kids singing in general. But, you know, just hearing her practice, I'm like, all right, you know, it's good. I can tolerate it. But then hearing her in context, I'm like, damn, this kid has a set of lungs. Them lungs are just like natural, you know? Where did they come from? They came from this kid that deep inside.
How old was she?
She was probably about 15 or 16.
I went to every show when it was Shrek, because that was one of the longest running ones. And a few times during intermission, I go run into the snack line, And I hear conversations. Hey, did you hear that kid? Hey, did you hear that kid? Oh, my God. That girl just blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, yep, that's my kid. And they turn around and look at me, and they're like, that's your kid? I'm like, yeah, man. Like, oh, my Lord. She's amazing. I'm like, yeah, huh?
Class she took her freshman year was gender studies, so she's really just kind of taking an interest in that.
That's interesting. I've never heard of that class before. What's that entail?
It was actually, the name of the course was Women's Studies, but it was part of the Gender Studies department, so it focused a lot on gender in general, more than, I mean, women were a big part of it, but, you know, like a lot, some of it was like feminist messages and stuff, but really her thing is just gender in general. I mean, I think she just naturally believes that women could be whatever they want to be, and, you know, she's surrounded by a lot of strong females, so she doesn't necessarily feel the need to go and announce to the world that women could do whatever they want, because it's just, you know, the way it is. Yeah.
Right.
She's big on just, you know, just appreciating the differences in people, really. And gender's a part of that, a big part of that. But just, she really does appreciate diversity.
I think she grabs a lot from, I'd say, the women in her family. Because she's surrounded by a lot of strong women. You know, we're not afraid to get our hands dirty. We're not afraid to, you know, go out and cut some wood or do this, work on the car. You know, Grandpa has showed her how to change her oil and this and that. And, you know, the kids, you know, about to become a pilot soon, if she wants to. She's like halfway to her pilot's license. I think just all the women in her family have shown her that don't take a step back because you're a chick, man. You're powerful. Yeah. And you know, I noticed that pretty young. I noticed that, you know, in the very beginning. I remember when I was moving out of my apartment, Talena and Joe came over, and I was moving boxes, and we were loading up the kitchen. And I said, hey, Joe, can you go grab me that box? And I said, no, well, it might be too heavy because I needed to put more stuff in it. She says, no, I got it. I don't need no man. And I, like, stopped and looked, and, like, Talena looked at her, and, like, I'm like, where the heck did that come from? You know, she just picks it up and puts it on her shoulder and walks into the kitchen with it, and she's like, here you go. Nothing else was said from that. She's just like, I don't need no man.
She was cadet commander of her Civil Air Patrol Squadron for 3 years, and a big part of that for her, and it was something that nobody else had ever done, she just felt she like she needed to, was she gave everybody personality tests, and then found ways that that person can contribute to the squadron best. She gave them jobs that fit with their personality style, and I think that's her big thing, is just really finding a way for each person to shine individually.
That's awesome. Good for her.
Yeah, she loves that stuff.
So she's graduating from high school this year, correct?
Yes.
What does she want to do after high school?
Her original plan when she joined CAP was she wanted to be an Air Force pilot, but she has scoliosis, so that disqualified her military. And I think now, just because she had, that had been her plan in her mind for so long, she's just kind of bouncing around trying to figure out what the new plan is going to be. She wants to go to Sonoma State University. It's in, like, the wine area of California. I don't know why. I guess she's always been drawn to that school. And for a long time, we really didn't even know if she was going to be able to graduate from high school because she was struggling so much academically. And, you know, she'd always thought, well, I'm not going to be able to go to college. And even if I do, I'm certainly not going to go to a university. I'm going to be going to community college, you know, because, you know, she has learning disabilities. And she even had teachers telling her that she should just focus on going to community colleges because most people with learning disabilities struggle too much, and they need the 2 years in community college to get ready to go to university. But she actually applied to every university, got accepted to all of them, and now she just really wants to go to kind of prove to herself and to everyone that she can do it.
What's she going for?
She's going undeclared right now. She's kind of leaning toward criminal justice, but who knows? I mean, she's changed plans so many times. She wanted to go medical for a while, and she's 18, so she'll probably do something completely different. She'll probably be like a floral designer or something.
What does Joey want to do?
testosterone, assisted therapy.
Yeah, I guess she's been talking about physical therapy lately.
You know, she's bouncing around with all kinds of ideas. She has mentioned a couple times that she would like to do physical therapy. I think that she is interested in something where she could be helping people. I think that she had some issues with her shoulder that she had to have worked on, and there was a physical therapist that really helped her out a lot. I don't know who it was or how it was. I just know that she told me that the person was influential enough to her that it made her feel like that's something she would really like to do.
Hmm. Oh, wow. As Joey goes off to college, what's one thing you want her to remember?
Oh, I just want Joey to not get pregnant. My wife says not get pregnant. just keep doing, you know, keep being Joey. She's great the way she, you know, she's Joey's not complicated. You know, she's what you see is what you get, and she's real genuine and just. To stay genuine like she is.
Just that she's perfectly capable of doing whatever she wants to do, and she's a very capable and smart young lady. She doesn't need no man to do anything for her. and that she, you know, she's perfect just as she is. She doesn't need any other person to complete her or anything like that, and, you know, just to stay focused on her education and her passion.
So I think I just want to tell her that she should take this time to really just find herself, get to know who she is, and really focus on herself. You know, it's the first time in her life that she doesn't have to worry about people hovering over her, and just, you know, enjoy college. And it's okay that she doesn't know what she wants to do, and that's what, you know, the first year of college is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I think, honestly, everything that she's going to need to remember, she already has so embedded in her that I don't think it'll be an issue. It's just that she's independent. She doesn't need anybody else, and that's kind of what she's all about. So I guess I just want her to keep being that strong, independent person she's always been.
I think she just needs to remember to be true to herself. You know, start looking out for number one, which is herself. You know, start taking more time for her. And, you know, as long as you stay true to yourself and who you are, I think she'll do pretty good. If she doesn't get herself sucked up into this and that, I think she'll be all right. She's going to realize that it's a different atmosphere than high school. There isn't going to be little cliques and little drama here and this and that. And I think she's just going to, you know, soak it in. And I think she's going to turn into whomever she's going to be, who she's supposed to be. Whatever direction, you know, whatever direction she decides to take, it'll happen. She needs to not stress so hard on, what am I going to do? You know, what am I going to take? What classes should I take? You know, what's my major? Well, just be there, get your gen ed out of the way, and just go along for the ride. So, you know, I tell her that. I said, don't be stressed out that you're going in freshman year or sophomore year without a direction. You will figure it out.
Right.
That's what,
yeah.
You know, that's what these years are there for, to figure yourself out. You know, don't push so hard.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'll figure it out. It'll come to you, man.
What's her favorite music, so I can get some reference?
Oh, gosh. I don't think I could pinpoint one type of music. She loves older music. Well, I say older, but I mean like 80s, 90s, 70s. She likes a lot of older male performers. George Michael, David Bowie, Queen. There will be like songs she likes of current performers, but there's no artist that she's really just into. And I think Lady Gaga, her thing is because she's really big into gender and just appreciating diversity. And so that, I think more than anything, it's like the Lady Gaga message that she likes.
You know, if I were to guess, it's probably theater music. She seems to like to attend a lot of musicals and perform in musicals. when she tries out for musicals, she's usually singing, you know, some sort of song from a musical. So that would probably be my guess. It's either that or maybe drag queen music.
What's drag queen music?
Just, you know, like RuPaul or something that you'd see at a drag show or something like that.
Okay. I've never been to one. So I was sincerely asking. I didn't know if it was a genre or if that was music that her favorite drag queens
what?
Put out.
You know what? Now come to think of it, she is a big fan of Lady Gaga, which a drag queen would be known to lip sync to sometimes.
Okay.
She's been to quite a few Lady Gaga shows, like concerts, and she's a big fan. And yeah, she's kind of big on the kind of the drag slash gay theme too. So that that kind of goes along with all that stuff.
Lady Gaga's music is very theatrical, and Talina was also telling me that one of her favorite bands is Queen. And,
So, anything theatrical, anything that is you know, just very flamboyant and expressive and over the top.
And now, with Erica Chambers on vocals, this is My Own Woman. Created and scored by PutThemInASong.com. You can follow the Root Note Podcast at Root Note Pod on Twitter. If you would like to have a song or music created for you or a loved one, visit PutThemInASong.com, where you have a better voice than you think. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time on The Root Note.